that we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangha Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, for even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I want to acknowledge this person who shows up.
This person who shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday on the working meditation day in the afternoon group, there were several people who made the point that they really want to acknowledge the person who shows up. Mm-hmm. And I watched the resistance that arises in me to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking on my recorder last night about it. It was so interesting because every time I would do that, I hear it was like this, there's like a low rumble. This sort of, or the other way of thinking about it is like if there's a bright picture and suddenly, you know, this kind of screen comes down, it just grays it slightly. And the screen is about, well, but, you know, well, but you don't do that, well, but you, well.
Right.
And so in the interest of doing something every day that drives conditioning crazy.
I was just going to say that.
This morning I brushed my teeth out of order. Out of my usual order, just go a bit crazy, and now I want to say publicly that I'm acknowledging this person who shows up.
Yeah, which as you described, drives conditioning crazy.
Hates it.
Yeah, wow, that's like a day by day, moment by moment thing. I'm just going to acknowledge this person who shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jen.
I am quite excited about being on bus, starting back up, and. I was looking at that, and it's related to this thing that it's one of those really obvious, but I'm really, really seeing it for myself, of this thing that can get in the way of, I think I know, but it's on the assumption level, of course. Mm-hmm. So I don't even realize I think I know. I just know.
Right. It's, I just know.
Yeah. So I had this amazing appointment with our yoga teacher several weeks back, where... we've been doing a lot of, well, not, we always do at work in our flight, but this year we have sort of this new series. And I was suspecting I was doing it incorrectly because I was getting some really difficult sensations in my low back that seemed were always triggered by that series. Mm-hmm. So in yoga class, you know, she'd given some pointers and et cetera, et cetera, and I still felt like, I'm not quite sure. So in this one-on-one appointment, I asked if we could really look at it, and so we went through it step by step really carefully, and I got what she was asking us to do. And I was like, but that's easy. And it was really quite extraordinary. I saw my whole life flash before my eyes. She was like, yeah, it's not difficult. And I... like there's this whole thing where you engage the from the soles of your feet to the, you know, your inner thighs. And so I was doing it. And she's like, and I said, but see, I'm not engaging. She's like, yes, you are. And I just saw how the mind was trying to do this whole thing, and it must be what I, the reason I saw my whole life flash is that there's this, I must not be doing it right. There, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, it must be hard somehow. Yeah. Of course, it's not said that way because that would catch my attention.
Right, yeah.
But it's something more like, you know, right. It really turns up, and it must be really, and so what I was doing was this whole other thing that was clenching the wrong muscles and creating difficulty, creating things that were throwing my body off balance. Instead of just this, just paying attention to what, I don't even know how to describe it, but anyway, I just saw, wow, what else am I doing then in my life where I'm assuming that it's difficult and hard, and I'm assuming I must not be doing it right, so I'm going up to the mind to figure out what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. And it can't be that easy, so let me clench down hard and try to get it.
Yeah, right. That somehow there's more to it than this, that it can't be just with the sensations that you were having in the thighs and, you know, up in the calves, that it had to be something more than that, or something different, something hard.
Something hard.
The assumption that the mind was making that, I mean, we hear it all the time, you know, from folks. It's like, drop it and come back to the breath. Can't be it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Which is a perfect segue into why I'm so excited about the email class, because I just watched myself make this intention of, I'm going to give myself to this class, 110%, to the class, not to conditioning's idea of what I'm supposed to be doing or what result I'm supposed to, or this process of projecting what they're talking about must be this really in-depth spiritual thing that we're not getting.
Right.
Right? So then, you know, that just conditioning in terms of, it's such a setup. So I just watched how, you know what? I'll just be here.
Yeah.
Just count the breath and do the exercises and read the responses. And that for at least for this month, it's one of those, you know, kind of playing and triggering conditioning. If we want it in May, if we want to go back to trying really hard,
yes, exactly.
But for this month, I'm going to count the breath. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the exercises, and I'm not even going to pay any attention to the effect, the full effect.
Right.
I'm just going to do that. And already it's been this fabulous mirror of watching that process of, well, then how am I feeling? I mean, is it okay? Yeah. What are the sensations in my body? And it's just this fabulous mirror of, well, that's something that's getting in the way all the time. And that when I'm just, for this month, I'm just counting. And it brings me back to well-being. It brings me right back, no matter what the sensations are in my body that want to get labeled, well, maybe it's not working, well, maybe, just counting,
I mean, that is just such a metaphor for practice. You know, it's like the one where the condition is going to look to see, how is my life transforming? Am I getting something out of this meditation? Am I getting something out of the email class? Am I doing this exercise right? Because getting the exercise right surely looks this way. You know, it's got to be harder than that, you know? So, you know, like constantly, I mean, even the introduction to the email class was like, there's going to be pages and pages of responses, you know, don't worry, you know, there's no way you can get behind.
Yes.
You know, they'll always be there. You could do them, you can read them next year.
Exactly. No,
it's 50 words or less. You know, it's like, all these reasons why, you know, you can't participate in the class, just constantly being cut off at the knees.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good point. And that the irony, of course, is I read every response. Where normally it would be kind of that, okay, no, I'm going to try to now keep up, but when there's that, no, I'm just going to whatever, just see how it goes. And I wanted to. Wanted to read every response, and so I did. And it wasn't even like I should or I need to or anything like that. And then I can watch, of course, that maybe there's conditioning over there, the regrouping. So it really wants to come in and go, yes, okay, here's the plan. You know, from now on, okay, the minute the responses come out, and I'm like, one, two,
three, exactly. Yeah, it's like, I read them all then. Thank you very much.
Exactly, exactly. That was what happened today.
Right.
Interesting. We'll see you tomorrow.
Exactly. being?
Appreciate it that there's shares, especially starting out with appreciating the person who shows up. And I've been I've been looking at last week's topic of group anxiety a lot this week, and just seeing how that plays out in my life, and what's been happening is just really working really hard. And and just doing the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and last night, after putting in some extra work time after the schedule and going home and sort of just collapsing, I grabbed my recorder and started recording about it, and then my recorder started beeping at me.
And, is it a love beep?
It was telling me it was full.
Full of love. Full of love.
And I was just like, but I'm just, actually, I'm grateful though, because I had just completed the first email class assignment on my recorder, and so I was glad about that, and just appreciating the person who shows up and who went home and did that email class assignment, and after a really hard week. And just reflecting back on how my karmic pattern in my life with dealing when things get really stressful is shutting down, giving up, quitting, leaving, all of those things. And yet I'm still here, I'm still showing up, I'm still doing it. And so just appreciating that someone's making that choice, because it is a choice.
Yeah, it is definitely a choice, yeah. It's that when we talk about willingness, you know, just showing up one step in front of the other, one moment right after the other. Can I do this? Okay, yes. And it's a choice, moment by moment, because the answer could very well come up as no. Appreciating the person who's actually showing up and saying yes at every moment, even after a hard, long day, and getting back and just wanting to collapse, and then there's like, oh yeah, that recorder. It's so easy just to say, tomorrow, or, you know, and then, yeah, just, you know, let whatever it is come in and stop us.
I've just been watching how there's the part of me who has in the past shut down, given up, all those things, and then it feels like there's also someone whose response is to push hard and work hard and just looking to see where the middle way is, or the way to take care of that person too.
Yeah.
Because that is a different choice than the choice to give up, but it's also Well, I'm looking to see how to take care of that person too. So, mm-hmm. so that it's not living in a state of all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I hear you saying is that it's like a, when you're talking about the willingness to show up moment by moment, it's also the willingness to have moment by moment come up. This is coming out of kindness. Mm-hmm. This is how I want to be in relationship to it, not from a place of conditioning, driving mm-hmm. this person to work harder, but looking at how can you be in that, how can you work mm-hmm. and come from the middle way? You know, so it's not driven by conditioning, essentially.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I have been doing this week is paying little visits to cats in the shop. I had found, well, we had found this cat bed in the cellar months ago, and I set it up in a spot in the shop where the sun comes in late afternoon, mm-hmm. and I thought it would be a really nice spot for them. And months went by, and I never saw a cat there. And this last week, every late afternoon, I've gone down, and my favorite cats have come up in that spot. And it's just been really brought a lot of joy to my heart.
Just understanding the notion of projection, it's like you can see the little cat of you just rolling over all of a sudden there.
Yeah.
And how can you bring, yeah, just... Nikki, let's go get that.
I just felt like I saw something really important in the combination of things that have been shared so far this morning. I too have been appreciating the showing up, and what I'm just seeing is that the intention to show up is really where it all happens. Mm-hmm. That once you get to that stage, then the rest is gonna kind of take care of itself.
Yeah.
Even if it's quote hard, mm-hmm. because I've already showed up.
Yeah, you made that conscious decision to show up,
yeah.
Right? Did you? It's. I think someone shared about it yesterday in the mm-hmm. in the in the working meditation retreat day. Something about just choosing to do something to annoy the voices mm-hmm. in that moment where it would have been very, it's really what I was talking about too, is that instant decision to turn my attention away from conditioning and turn it toward being here is the popping out, mm-hmm. popping out of it, and it's like, that's all it really took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just knowing what are the intentions of this being in this heart, and making a commitment to show up for those, and then when I show up for those, whatever happens within those, even if it gets labeled difficult or challenging or hard, mm-hmm. well, it might be, but it's just part of the package of showing up for that. I mean, I had never quite seen that before, and so within that, if we see that that's so, then there doesn't have to be the struggle. You know, it's just, I got myself here, I showed up, so now I'm just available for what unfolds, mm-hmm. even if it pushes buttons or even if it's hard for this body to do the physical work or whatever. All of that somehow will be handled within the act of intentionally having chosen to show up.
Right, yeah. Well, that intention to show up is the intention to actually be here mm-hmm. with whatever it is that's going on in the moment,
yeah.
regardless of whatever conditioning is trying to say about it. So I imagine what makes it all possible to just continue to keep going is the acceptance that's brought to it. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just a conversationalist kind of place.
It is.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, I've chosen to show up. Mm-hmm. It's like this barrage of voices and just mm-hmm. showing up in doing whatever it is that you're doing without the constant commentary.
Yeah. So the T, constant
comment. Constant comment. just makes me laugh every time I see it.
I love that conversationless kind of place. I
mm-hmm.
mean, that way, you know, that's That's really, I notice I've been experiencing a lot less resistance lately, and that's what it is. The less resistance is a conversationless kind of place.
That's right. Yeah. It's that constant engagement with, you know, it's like when we start, it's like referencing, like, it's like, here's how I'm doing, and this is what I'm doing, and this is what I feel about it. And it's like, the moment you decide that your intention is, you're just going to show up and do the thing, then, okay, what do I need to engage with that for anymore? And of course, it's going to want to try to come in again.
Right.
And it's just
right.
Like, there you go. You're not intending anything, you know, or this is your intention, and who you are is.
Yeah, that's that non-engaging it. That's a really important part too. Because I'm aware. I mean, particularly when we do the thing like we did yesterday, where we check in every 15 minutes, I'm so aware of how the conversation is always going on.
Right.
You know, and it's just the not
what channel
the
is
not
on.
Engaging it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there are channels I no longer engage in, and there are channels I still do. Yeah, and there's some I'm really working on stopping the engagement, and and I just one more thing. I've also really been appreciating looking at the flow of energy, and just recognizing that it has its seasons and its flows, and just you know, kind of comparing, you know, those last few stormy days we had where, you know, it felt like what I was in was kind of a hermit kind of energy. I mean, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of incentive to be out and about in it, you know, beyond what was absolutely necessary, and just the kind of pulling in a sense, not doing as much, and you know, one day I had sort of some judgments around that about, well, I should be doing something, and the mentor actually just said, you know, you're coming up on a period where there's going to be a huge amount of doing, why don't you just enjoy this little time of not doing it? And now, sort of, you know, sort of arising with the sunshine and the spring, all of a sudden there's all this activity in my life, and all the energy is there for participating in it, and it's a whole different kind of being, it's a whole different kind of thing, and it's just not that one is better than the other, but just watching how it flows.
Yeah, without any kind of constant
right.
comment
right.
or judgment about how it is that it needs to be. Like, you were participating in whatever you were participating over here, but conditioning has all sorts of ideas about what that's like and how you should be.
Yeah.
And the mentor, once again, provides the wisdom needed and was right.
That's right. Now we're here in a different time and set of circumstances, and that's good too.
That's right. Thank you. Karen.
Gosh, it's been just so perfect. Everything that has been said has been something, you know, that just touches into experience. It's been a very big practice week for this being, and I really do respect and acknowledge the person who's been showing up for not only for this week but for a long time in her life.
It's almost like we need to do a round of applause.
Good
job.
And I had the experience yesterday of sitting down to do the first email class and just popped it off, checked the word count 43, and I thought, oh, well, that can't, I had the same thing, that cannot be it, I have to work at it.
Right.
That never happens, you know,
you just sit down, do it, and fall.
Yeah, and so anyway, I've been in a place of experiencing the experience that's described in the Way of Transformation, where, you know, shattering, broken, and some information came in into a place, an unexpected place, have been feeling great experiences of success in practice and transformation, seeing myself behaving in ways that are new and different and very exciting for me, mm-hmm. and getting some very, very different information come into that space, mm-hmm. and just feeling like, wait, there was just, the first kind of gut response was that basically I thought I would rather be dead than be this person that's reading this right now. If this is true, then yeah, there's just no reason to continue. Mm-hmm. And so far off that I can't even relate to this, you know. Mm-hmm. So I started, you know, just kind of trying to comprehend what is this? How could this be so disparate from mm-hmm. from what my experience is? And I know that there has to be something in it, you know. It's not coming from some whacked off, you know, place. Mm-hmm. But what was happening was would you like to reflect? I could go on. Should I just keep going?
Well, what I hear you saying is that you've gotten where you think you were with where you are in uh-huh. practice, and your experience of yourself and how you're doing in practice and uh-huh. is different from some feedback that you've gotten.
Yeah.
And where
you're
very different. I mean, would you say night and day?
I would say exactly at least that, yeah.
at least that, this galaxy.
Yeah, like that.
Uh-huh. And that the conclusion that came to your mind was that you'd rather be dead than be in this experience that you're having right now, reading what you were reading.
Yeah. I mean, that's the conditioned experience of it. And so uh-huh. I found myself trying to understand, comprehend, how could this be, and I started having a very familiar process going on where the information was, things were just recycling, you know, somebody was trying to verify, validate, mm-hmm. this is my experience, and this can't be right, and uh-huh. how could that be, and mm-hmm. just over and over and over, and I was actually trying to respond to uh-huh. the information I got uh-huh. from this place of trying to...
Just like line by line. You know.
And yeah, trying to... Yeah, and so I got my recorder out and got some very wise counsel that this is it, you know. You have to drop this story. It has to be dropped. If you can't drop it now, you're never going to drop it. So, you know, get on it. You know, you cannot respond from the place that you are in, because it's obviously conditioning. You're suffering, you're trying to justify yourself, you're not understanding. You have to just do what I heard previously. Count your breaths, be here, drop all of this, and when you can drop all of this, then you can consider responding to this. So I learned. Better get on that. Because I recognized that it was true, you know, it was true. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I...
Mentor didn't mince words.
Didn't mince words at all. Mm. So I went, did yoga, I sat, and my whole day was that story. I mean, I could not believe how often, you know, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. I got my list out, mm-hmm. you know. I had my own working meditation retreat. Mm-hmm. And at the store, I bought one apple. I had my experience of the cat and the sun. I bought one apple for Sadie, the donkey on the road. Came back in and stopped and fed the mm-hmm. apple. It was so much fun. And here was this person that wanted to be dead, you know, just an hour earlier or so. It was coming back to life as she was being present. Mm. Here comes the story. No. Mm. Here comes no. Mm. No. Right. No. We're not doing that. I don't care if I can't ever answer that email. I'm going to be here.
That's right.
And, you know, But you can't wait. It's important. They're going to think you don't care if you don't answer. No, you can't answer now. You'll answer when the answer comes, was kind of the message I was getting. So the whole day went on like that, and as the day went on, she was coming alive. You know, she was not. She was being resumed from the dead. And I mean, really, she was dead. She couldn't... She hurt so bad inside from this, and couldn't eat, just... But, you know,
conditioning wanted her dead.
Huh?
Conditioning wanted her dead.
Yeah.
What would you say?
It was killing her, yeah.
It was killing her.
Yeah.
She's always alive. It's just conditioning wants her dead.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, at every chance, it would come up. The way you're describing it is like, and then the mentor is just constantly, no.
Yeah.
No. No. What I'm doing is I'm focusing on the breath. I'm being here. I'm doing things that take care of myself, that bring joy to me.
Absolutely. And it's the first time, you know, like was described earlier, the email class that lasted 3 months, I never did an email class all the way to the end without getting to the place of feeling like I'm behind and I have failed. I did that 3 month class. I did the whole thing. So yesterday was the first time that I ever stood up to ego like that all day and kept saying no. It's the, you know, usually it wiggles its way in, and you know, so there we were. I was just about closing up shop to go to bed, you know, turning my little hermitage from a place to live to a bedroom, which is a process every night. And shoop, it dropped in. It just dropped in. How this disparity could be. How I, in fact, was responsible for it. Or could be. I mean, I don't know what really has happened. You know, I don't know. But I could at least see a possibility in this that I could work with, that I could accept responsibility for my part of whatever's going on. And it just came, and I absolutely could not imagine any way of understanding that. It was just like...
Yeah, well, yeah, conditioning has no way of understanding
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely,
it didn't come from the same... It didn't come from the same mind.
Yeah.
It creates that crazy place.
Yeah. So this and, you know, experiences that I'm having, and it's actually been, since the recording and listening, I could be the testimonial baby for that. Because these kinds of experiences, to me, have been more theoretical than actual experiences of how this could actually, you know, I know it's possible, but... you know, it really, you can't just not do anything when something important is happening. It's really, you know, it's like the urge to. And so I just want to express my deep gratitude that such a practice as this exists, and that there is a willingness from somewhere to do it, because. Man, that shattered place is really hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, and what you started with the appreciation for the being that keeps showing up and keeps availing herself of the practice, who just didn't give an inch.
Yeah, and before that, there was somebody who was just ready to throw in the towel, who was done, you know, who just couldn't imagine that she could take another step.
Yeah, I mean, this literally, like you're describing, you know, God, the devil wrestling for your soul right there. It's just like throwing the towel.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not up to it. If it comes to this after all this time, you know, whatever. There's some people who can do this and some can't, and obviously I can't, and I just need to pick up my toys and go off and play another game.
Yeah. And go where?
But exactly, that's exactly what I got to. There's no, you know, I can't stay suffering, and if I'm not able to do this, what's left? Nothing. I mean, that's why I felt like I wanted to die, because there's nowhere to go from there. And I actually felt like I couldn't go any further in practice, that I had basically failed miserably, and it was imperative to me to leave, because, you know, I'm creating havoc in some ways.
Yeah, just you just described what it's doing. What it does, it creates havoc.
Yeah.
It needs to leave.
Yeah, you know, it does need to leave, for sure.
It's got to find another house to haunt.
Yeah. So, keep gratitude. Mm-hmm. And regardless of the outcome, you know, of whatever, I am committed to this process because I see now, you know, mm-hmm. that there's a person, there's a way to do this. There's a way to bring kindness and gentleness and caring and
And the process is the way you laid out. Just throughout the entire day, just no. And allow the insight, and it just created a space for the insight to drop in and explain it all.
It did, and that's what the mentor told me, that I couldn't, you know, that I needed to do that, mm-hmm. and that when I had done that, and if the answer was available, then that was the time to respond. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay. I've had things drop like that, so, you know, I just said yes, thank you, and stepped into that possibility, and... Mm-hmm. did in fact happen.
Mentor was right again.
Yeah.
Got two rights at. Thank you.
Ryan. I've just been kind of looking at the notion of kind of showing up to and caring for life and doing stuff that bugs conditioning. Because I think, really, it starts to be, you know, they're kind of the same thing. It's kind of the same set of behaviors.
Right. Yeah, and, showing up for life bugs conditioning.
Yeah, showing up for life really bugs conditioning. And so part of me is like, okay, well, that's kind of the distinction without a difference. But it feels like it really matters to my relationship with conditioning how I frame that for myself. Because if I'm doing something to bug conditioning, then I'm still... in a relationship with conditioning and allowing conditioning to frame what my experience is. Whereas if I just have the commitment that I'm going to show up and I'm going to take care and I'm going to be with life in the face of whatever arises, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, the content of life or the processes of conditioned mind or whatever, then my focus is with life always. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I don't actually have to have any relationship to conditioning. If it's annoyed, that's...
it's a byproduct.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I'm just as not concerned about that as if it was really happy with what was going on.
Mm-hmm. So your relationship is on life and your relationship with life rather than focusing on anything to do with conditioning whatsoever.
Yeah, so just you know, really paying attention to how I frame that for myself, mm-hmm. So that I don't get into the place of sliding back into a relationship with mm-hmm. conditioned mind in the ostensibly in the service of getting out of a relation with conditioned mind.
Right. Yeah. So the way you're describing it is that turning your attention to conditioned mind and the relationship that you're having with it is a way of maintaining your relationship with conditioned mind.
Yeah, even if I'm trying to annoy it, I'm still right there mixed up with it. Mm-hmm. It's this really kind of tricky place because that's what there's this really tricky little voice that always has this helpful advice about approaching these sorts of things. It's like, oh yeah, you know, look, you're really causing havoc over there. And it's like, actually, that's not what I'm interested in doing. I want to take care of this. Mm-hmm. And not be concerned with what's going on over there. Although, if it should be that it's making life difficult for conditioning...
so be it.
Yes, so be it. So, just looking at that spot.
Yeah, how are you framing it, or how it's being framed, and your relationship with conditioned mind versus with life, where you want your attention to be.
Mm-hmm. And I find that I'm also having the kind of deep experience of gratitude for the fact that just that little, you know, those little small distinctions, I end up on one side or the other of it, and then get pulled back to here. Mm-hmm. And that's very much the experience of it. It's not like I came back, it's something just kind of, you know, tugged at the back of my shirt, back over here.
Uh-huh.
And I just had that experience really markedly sitting before a group where it just, tension wandered off and just boom.
Uh-huh.
And just being so grateful for whatever has the willingness to keep doing that over and over and over again as I let my attention wander off.
Yeah, yeah. That it's not, what I'm hearing you saying in all this, it doesn't require somebody to do these things. That it's not like we're going to turn the conditioned mind to see how we're doing. It's very much like Emerson Lawrence, see how we're doing with practice, to be in charge of monitoring practice and doing the practice. But it's disengaging from all of that and just being here, focusing on being here.
And just kind of having the attitude of mind that what arises is going to arise, and I'm going to be here and care for life.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what arises, whether, you know, it's a good thing or a bad thing, or it seems like it's working or it's not working, that, you know, all of that's kind of incidental to what's the focus of just being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incidental to just focusing on being here. Thank you. Sequoia.
In addition to expressing gratitude for this person for showing up, which, you know, conditioning does want to derail her from that as well, but I'm just feeling immense gratitude for Sangha this morning. I have just received, it feels like I've received so much from being with Sangha both this morning and during the at-home retreat yesterday. My heart is this, just like, this is just incredible. And I'm just so appreciative of it. And yesterday, the sharing and group was just, wow. It just felt like an incredible gift. And one of the things I was participating yesterday as a facilitator part of the time, and you know, conditioning has a lot to say about that, but you know, just the gift of that and the sharing that everyone was doing in the group, and just the sharing also just helped to bring me back to what people are talking about this morning of just being present with life and you know, just being there for whatever came up without having to plan it and worry about it.
It's possible to do that without planning and worrying?
Yeah, you know, which is just such an amazing concept. and a very relaxed and a joyful place to live. Mm-hmm. One of the things that a lot of people were sharing, and was shared this morning too, you know, this belief about certain things are hard and mm-hmm. they need to be hard, and what was coming up yesterday for people, it seemed that they shared a lot of us, the distinctions between various types of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of work is, you know, not so hard, and this kind of work where, you know, I'm really invested, my ego is invested in it, or it has to do with a paycheck or whatever.
So this is valuable work.
This is valuable work. Yeah, and how the voices really amp up mm-hmm. with that kind of thing. And a lot of people's lives in my life, you know, and the stress just increases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just what was shared this morning about dropping the story, you know, just seeing, wow, that is just a whole construct that is not based in any kind of reality, that it's actually possible to do everything with just dropping the story.
Yeah.
And
story not required.
Story not required, you know? And that is just, boy, that is... That's just a real shift in a story that this person has bought into for so many years. And actually, you know, just avoided positions of responsibility because, you know, the stress that went with that was just not...
Yeah, the stress with the story
created
the experience of it being something you needed to absolutely avoid at all costs.
Yeah, and still watching that, you know, it's like, I have this job to do, and if it's not hard and I'm not suffering with it, well, then it's not worth I must not. People aren't getting their money's
worth
from you.
You know? So, like, boy, you better stand the stress and
if I'm not given a pint of blood with the, you know, with the job, then I'm somehow a shirker.
Wow.
You know, that I must just, I'm being inauthentic or in some way. It's really crazy, but it's quite entrenched.
And what if
it's possible to take more responsibility and have more fun? Oh my God! You know?
Yeah, what if the responsibility increased your fun quotient?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that story could be just as real as that other story.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it just takes the whole cork out of the bottle for, you know, having to stay small and not participate. Yeah. You know, it's like, boy, howdy, I'm going for the fun. You know,
your focus is on the fun, and you know that fun equals participation, and then not believing the voices, just focusing on being here.
Or, yeah, the fun is just focusing on being here. I think it's dropping the story regardless of whatever it is that I'm doing, and I don't have to avoid particular circumstances.
Right, but the circumstances don't equal stress, suffering, worry, planning,
right. Or content, or anything.
Yeah, or anything.
Right. Anything.
It's like cutting to the chase. Mm-hmm. When you're describing that, it's like all this stuff that's there between you and actually doing it,
mm-hmm.
or participating in whatever activity it is.
Yeah.
Without all that, what could it possibly be? Well, it ends up being fun. It's like mentor keeps proving to people that, you know, if you just do this, then what's on the other side is not what conditioning is threatening you with.
Yeah.
It's actually the opposite.
Exactly. And boy, all I have to do is listen to all my recordings to find out that is the truth. You know, I have, you know, hours of recordings talking about, oh my God, you know, just the fear or the anxiety that, you know, certain things are going to go a certain way. And, you know, and boy, there I'm going to be. But, you know, it just doesn't hold water.
No.
It doesn't hold recordings or, you know, it's just...
Wow, it's like a document of, like, the lies.
Yeah.
It's like, just listen to it and say, boy, wrong there.
Yeah. I can't ever think, really, when it's been right. Which is wonderful. So, yeah. So it just comes back to, you know, all of this it's just being in the presence of Sangha that has really supported my seeing this a lot in the last couple of days. And pretty amazing.
Yeah, seeing it, that the way Sangha is set up, the way participating in Sangha has allowed you to see it in a way that you had not been able to before.
Yeah. I'm really grateful for everybody that shows up and shares and participates and practices.
Yeah, thank you. I share it all. Well, we're not done yet. So. Jim.
Well, I have about three things going on that I just want to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
The first is, and they're all very common stuff, you've heard me say these things before. The worse I feel physically, the more self-hate pounds on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not contagious or anything, but I've got these sinus, sore throat, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm just once again on top of that, hearing the just constant self-hate about something. There's something wrong. I should have something. I did something. Somehow it's my fault. Mm-hmm. So that's one of them.
There's a time when you could actually use some assistance and some kindness.
Yeah.
Very and, convenient for conditioning and self-hate to come in.
Yeah. And it's pretty much always that. Mm-hmm. It pretty much always does that.
What keeps you when you're down?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The remarkable time that it didn't was early last year when I was truly injured, and it was clear that it was not something I did. Mm-hmm. and it couldn't, I mean, it didn't.
It didn't try.
Yeah, something was somehow or another. But if it's just a little sore throat or
a little low grade,
it's a good time to get her. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, it was exactly what was just being shared, and I'm not even allowed to remember what that was.
Something about what someone was just sharing, and you're not allowed to remember what it was?
Yeah. But it was exactly the same thing. We all know. And
her stick. Her staff.
And everyone knows this. There's just this a huge email class. And I get a lot of information that other people think that it's a huge amount of work for me. And it isn't. It's all electronic. We've done it so many times, it's all very streamlined. And it's not a huge amount of work. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, or the message I get is, it should be more work than
it is. Oh, it's the, it can't be the same.
Don't dispel the illusion that other people have that you're working on it.
You need to just sit there and move the mouse around a little bit more.
So
you wanted to expose that, let people know that it's...
Yeah. I remember the other thing. It is a lot of work, but it's not like this just slammed thing. Right. Not in any stretch. I think this is the crucial thing that I'd actually like to reveal, because I just saw it. When I don't have much work to do, my work life goes really big, really small, really big, really small, and kind of in waves. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have a lot to do, I tend to what I call nine it. Mm-hmm. I just go real nine in within it, and which is also just identification. And I get lots of self-hate about that. I get into all kinds of really unhelpful, unhappy places. Mm-hmm. And then when the workload goes up and there's a lot to do, even though I'm not slammed, like there's still a lot to do, the same thing happens. Mm-hmm. And so I just get it that it's not about how much work I have to do.
It's not the equation doesn't line up the way conditioning is framing it, and somehow it's the experience that's causing it. You're seeing that either one, a lot of work, not a lot of work.
It'll find, in any situation, it finds the door to come through so that I wind up in the same place.
All roads lead to you suffer.
Don't feel well.
What's that?
Don't feel well.
Don't feel well.
Feel I should be working harder to meet other people's expectations, or don't have enough to do, or have too much to do, or just down the list. Any door, it finds that crack to come in, so that June winds up not being who she should be.
So that's where it all goes.
Yeah, it's just, I can just count on that, and I go to sleep and forget that it's going to happen. And they get caught in it. So it's good to talk about it.
It's good to talk about it. It sounds like a really neat thing for the recorder, too.
Okay.
I had to mention
it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Dave.
This would be along the lines of attempting to annoy conditioning. It was one of our assignments in the at-home day yesterday. I have just recently moved my place of abode, or whatever that expression is, and there's a lot of work involved in that. Most of it's optional. Most of it is things I want to do to make it a really nice place to live for me. So this is my third Sunday of working on that. First two, I really didn't do it in the way that I really wanted to. I pushed through it and ended up not feeling good in myself. Not completely. I mean, they're actually pretty darn fun, both those days, but there wasn't the spaciousness and the relaxation, just the joy in it that I really wanted. So yesterday, it was actually really helpful having that retreat because, the way that we set up that retreat is the way that work needs to be set up in order to produce that kind of joy. So I picked up lots of tips. So starting last night.
That's great.
Yeah. So I started working last night after the schedule on my private project. So, as soon as I started doing the 15-minute timer.
That's great.
I'm recording and listening about it. All morning, it's been going. It's going to go all, from now until I stop working tonight. It's 15-minute timers. Made a plan, so here I'm doing this, here's what I'm doing. No better ideas, here's when we have breakfast. The whole shmeal.
Setting it up, with the kindness and the mentor as the primary focus and practice as the primary focus rather than, the kind of thing that will allow conditioning to just weasel in and push.
Getting things done, getting urgent.
Over you,
Exactly, that's the choice that really wants to be made by conditioning. Mm-hmm. And so far so good.
Yeah, that sounds like a great structure.
Yeah, I really like it. I it's fun to be in a new place too because there's, look around, I see stuff all the time I haven't seen yet. Uh-huh. And so this morning, it's all an annoying conditioning process.
Right. Yeah, it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, so, I'm not going to sit here with my breakfast and look at what has to happen next. Uh-huh. That's not what I'm doing.
It's not the plan.
I'm getting my breakfast and I'm going to go over to this other place that I've never actually spent any time yet, and I'm going to hang out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look at stuff. And I'm not going to think at all about anything that has to be done. It was really, really lovely.
Oh, that's so great. It's just like the no.
That's what it is.
It's like conditioning wants to drive it back into the same old pattern. It's just like, no, this is the plan. This is what we created for ourselves.
Yeah, it's just so important. It's nothing is worth abandoning myself for.
No. Yeah. It's funny because no matter how exciting the content, no matter how dismal conditioning tries to paint, them to be, either aspect, because the attention just wants to get drawn over in this side to this side. It's like, no, I'm just being here, and whatever it is that it is will show up.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting element, actually, just threw into it, dismal or exciting. Mm-hmm. With the dismal, there's a lot of motivation to get present. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, ooh, boy, this stinks. All right, let's do some practice here. But with the exciting, it's really challenging.
Yeah.
That and that's what is going on with this. It's fun. It's uh-huh. I've never really had the opportunity to. I mean, I just started to started with an empty shell, and I've never had the opportunity to really make something the way I want to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's certain limitations. You know, there's. I mean, I need to use the stuff that's available, and
yeah.
things, which actually is part of the fun.
Yes.
So it really is fun. And then, like, I built this 2 Sundays ago. It was pouring rain. It was the day we had all the wind and everything, and it ripped up the garden and all that. And in the afternoon, I built a cabinet to put my clothes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a construction project. It's huge.
Yeah.
And I've got it worked out. So my bed is a certain width, and this thing sits in front of it. It's just enough room for the door, and then behind, you know. So I actually, above my feet is where I hang my clothes when I'm sleeping. You know, it's just this kind of cool. Just love the way it all turned out. But I sit in my hermit, and so I made a lot of my hermitage is tiny, but it made a lot of space. I've got like this little. Instead of having my stuff all over the place, it's actually all contained in the first 3 feet of the hermitage. So I got this living room. So now I have this chair in my living room. I'm sitting in my chair, and this has been happening every night. I try to sit there at least for a couple minutes every night. And I look at that cabinet, and I like, I love that cabinet. I could sit there and look at that cabinet all day long. I just love that cabinet. And like I said the other day, it actually is pretty attractive, I think. But it's not because of that. It's just because of putting myself into it and the willingness for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it kind of, it like radiates while I look at it. It's really fun.
Wow. That's really cool.
And it's interesting to contrast that with past experiences, because I have this my time, your time thing that I've struggled with for years, still do.
Mm-hmm.
And in the old days, this would never be happening. I would just move in there and just live out of boxes to avoid having to do anything extra.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a complete paradigm shift, and it's bringing a lot of energy and joy to my life. But I really want to, I really need that structure there to keep conditioning out of the picture. Because it'll, like you were saying a minute ago, it'll use it from either side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want to make sure that mindfulness is the number one thing that's happening with this.
Yeah, the mindfulness practice, being here with the experience rather than what conditioning is saying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you're describing it, it's like that's the choice that we have at every moment, and we can abandon ourselves at any point, and we can also bring ourselves back and choose ourselves.
Oh yeah, we're just about out of time. One more little tiny thing that Sherry said, which I really loved the other night. She said, why cut short the enjoyment of it?
Mm-hmm.
And that is just so not a part of conditioning. You can just say, well, let's get this thing done, and then it will be, then it will be finished. But why do that? Why? Because it's an enjoyable process. Let's just have this, let's just string this thing out for for as long as I'm down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it could be a process of enjoyment rather than something that can just try to get you to finish. Why would you want to finish it? It's like that question that we constantly ask is like, what would you have if you were the person that you were supposed to be at the end mm-hmm. of the road? And
yeah, I would have more time for it.
Exactly.
More energy for it.
More time to go unconscious.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
It'd be like that. The ideal is to get to a place where I don't have to be here. It's like, what kind of ideal is that?
Yeah.
Who would be coming up with that kind of an ideal?
Yeah, that's really crazy. Well, in a way, you could say everything we do here at the monastery is about that. It's all giving us something to focus on that is, you know, expansive and joyful, and making contribution we just need something for the attention to be on. Otherwise, you're just going to go into conditioned mind.
The same old place, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.